Hi, I'm Tommy Gunn.
I'm Chubby McCarlson.
And we're getting a character.
Yes.
We're a podcast.
We are.
We're on the Pod Gods Network.
We're on that, too.
PodGodsNetwork.com.
That's a website, yep.
Yeah, where can you follow us on Twitter, Chubby?
At GIC Podcast.
Yeah, where can you follow you on Twitter?
At Chubby McCarlson.
Where can they follow me on Twitter?
At Thomas Gunn.
Wow, this is amazing.
At Murder Party 1.
That's our band. We're in a band also.
That's just another way to get a hold of us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not trying to, like, get Twitter popular or nothing.
Not at all.
But you know what? You can also go to our blog at gicpodcast.blogspot.com, subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Stitcher, your mobile app.
So really, all I have to do is type in some shit
and fucking find us.
Why would I ever want to do that?
Because we're fucking hilarious.
We say funny things.
We swear a lot.
And we swear a lot.
We're not safe for your work.
We're also into stuff.
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 Lots of stuff.
Lots of good stuff.
If you like stuff like we like stuff.
We all like stuff.
Then maybe you should listen to Get Into Character.
And maybe you should get into character yourself.
Yeah, by, you know, getting into some stuff.
Getting into stuff and character. Yeah,
stuff and character. That sounded like a sex move.
Also, the Pod Gods Network.
.com.
Having sex in the butt.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
You are now tuned in to the Pod Gods Network.
And make sure you head on over to PodGodsNetwork.com and check out all 11.5 million shows we have available for your free consumption. They're all free, they're all funny, and they're all fucking Pod Gods. Go check them out. PodGodsNetwork.com, 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 PodGodsNetwork.com.
You are now listening to Blogging Under the Influence, where my dad and his buddies get drunk and talk smack.
Talk smack.
Talk smack.
Talk smack. Hey, I'm the life of the party. Hey, look what I just started. Hey, how you doing? What's up? Yeah, now everybody raise your cups and sing. Sobriety, 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 sobriety. Man, I never wanna grow up. Sobriety sucks.
Yes, sobriety sucks. Welcome to Blogging Under the Influence, part of the Pod Gods Network. This is episode 91, and my name is Mick.
J-Dub.
And Scott.
And joining us via the magic of Skype from Indianapolis, Indiana, is Bill Levin. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, sir? What a wonderful concept for a show. This is absolutely brilliant, and God bless you. You are a great American for coming up with this idea.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're pretty awesome.
You're going to make me blush.
I can only see one guy here, but wherever the other guys are, kudos.
We're all in like a semicircle.
Yeah.
I'll occasionally spin the camera around so you can have a look at everybody's ugly mug here, just not mine. But I wanted to have you on the show, man. I've been friends with you on Facebook for about a year. I'm not even sure if you even know that. Well, I'm sure he's got a lot of friends or whatever.
He's such a bourgeois.
But you are what I would deem is the leading marijuana legalization lobbyist, I guess, advocate, yeah.
Advocate, statesman, something like that. Because if I call myself a lobbyist, that means I have to.
You get paid, right?
Oh, no, that would be absolutely.
No, if you're a lobbyist, that means you get paid, right?
Dude, if I can get paid for this, I'd be the happiest camper in the world. we can't even get money to raise, you know, to put on the events. So getting a salary for a person, not even in the dream world yet.
Right. Give us your resume, Bill. What marijuana legalization things have you done with the state of Indiana in the past few years?
Nothing. They haven't allowed us to do shit. Well,
no,
like the government to me. Wow.
No, I meant what organizations have you been affiliated with?
I'm the chairman of the board of Relegalize Indiana, which is a political action committee who's technically supposed to raise money, give it to politicians, and play that pat game.
Right.
Right.
But unfortunately, there's nothing poorer in the world than the 54% of the Hoosiers who believe cannabis should be legal. I think last year Normal raised $3,000 gross.
Right.
Wow. You know, and companies can't run campaigns and do things on like $3,000.
No.
So
yeah, you know, that's what I'm thinking too. It's like hard to get a. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm one of the guilty parties here because I haven't sent any money.
Like listening to NPR for free.
Yeah, that's
now to rallies. It's you know, here we go. We have a rally. We're at the state house. We have a poll that shows we are 54% in favor in the whole state. Yay, rah! And we get, you know, 50 people.
Wow.
And really, we got 50 people here, and we got, you know, an extra 70 empty seats. That looks real good on camera.
Right.
You know, it's people will not come out and speak up about it. People will email, but if I ask them to actually write a letter and physically sign it and make up their own words, we get less than a 0.0001% response.
Do you think it's part fear of retribution? I mean,
there's a vast bit of paranoia, but more of it is
apathy.
Yeah.
Apathy.
Oh, an apathetic stoner.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it's like, wow, where would you find one?
Well, if you
want to
do that.
You know, maybe if I could figure out, you know, if there was an app, if there was a protest app, everybody would get it.
Yeah.
But if they actually, you know, had to go downtown and stand up and go, this is wrong, let's do it this way, nobody will come out. We have a 420 march every year that we start on the State House lawn, and I get hundreds of people telling me they're coming from all over the state. And when we get down to it, there is 50 people.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's not a very good turnout.
Face.
Yeah, I just turned the camera.
Look at you. You got fancy microphones and everything.
Oh, we're professional, Bill. We're like high class. Highbrow.
Yeah,
top shelf.
This is a real highbrow show.
Well, bravo, man. Nice to meet you.
So,
yeah, it's apathy and fear is our biggest apathy, fear, and being broke. Right now, we're going to be pushing for Indiana Normal to be raising funds because they've got a lot of activities in plan. They're going to be at the Indiana State Fair, and they're redoing the booth this year. Since we have no political things, we're going to be doing awareness campaigns. We'll be out showing Run from the Cure, a Simpsons film. Have you seen Run from the Cure?
No, I haven't.
Go over to YouTube and, you know, hit it. It's called Run from the Cure. It is about Mr. Simpson, Ricky Simpson, out of Canada. He was the first one to bring cannabis oil to the forefront on curing cancer. He had cancer. He didn't like the way they were going to get rid of his cancer, so he used cannabis oil, and, you know, son of a bitch, he cured himself.
Was he the one who put out the DVD? Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, he has many DVDs, but Run from the Cure is the big one, and it's free for everybody to download. He's not charging for it. It's you can show it in theaters. He gave it away to the world for free.
Good for
he's
him.
Cured over 1,700 people personally, and he's been on tour around Europe and around the world. Really well-spoken man, and bottom line, he uses hemp oil to cure himself. And he's, you know, I've seen it work on cancer patients. Guy has cancer, takes cannabis oil. Oh, look, he's cured. Wow, fucking amazing.
The problem with that is the pharmaceutical companies can't make any money off curing people. That's not how our medical system is built.
No, they can make more money than God off of it. I'm not worried about the pharmaceutical companies. Come on, they're going to break down the CBDs and the CBNs into their own individual factors.
Yeah.
They're going to capsulize it in a pill, and they're going to get $72 for it.
Yeah, that's what...
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are a fart in the wind. They already got patents they're going to drop in, and they're going to use them. they can't patent plant, but they could patent how they break it down and time release it.
And deliver it.
Yeah.
Well, I never thought about that. I didn't even think about how the pharmaceutical companies
really
could approach that. I just kind of assumed they'd be screwed.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's like raising grapes, you know. If you raise grapes, you're going to make wine? Okay, go ahead. Gallo who makes wine.
Who makes the best wine?
Small vineyards. You can grow it in your backyard, but most of the people are lazy. They're going to go to the store and buy it.
True.
No, if it was legal, I would go ahead and make my own.
20 different varieties, or you're going to wait a whole season and grow your own.
Most people will end
up buying it in the store. You know, hopefully it's in the fresh veggie section.
That would be awesome. Go buy mass-produced commercial trash weed in the marsh.
Yeah. No, but
it would probably have horse bean to it.
Hydroponic. It would all be consistent. It would be like the mushrooms. You know, the mushrooms we all get in the stores? That's grown here in Indiana. Yeah. There's a guy who started growing mushrooms in his garage, got a barn, got a pole barn, got a bigger building, got a warehouse, and now all he does is grow mushrooms for grocery stores. And I always smile, and I look down, and I go, oh, it's just a guy up north. He's growing these out of his thing, and he started small, and he grew a thing.
I know a guy that grows mushrooms.
But he ain't selling them in Kroger.
In the parking lot, maybe.
Well, let's take it back to the genesis of Bill Levin. Give us a little bio, because I know we have some mutual friends that knew you back in the early 80s.
Oh, God. I'm going to go far back. Okay. I was born at a very early age, and by the time I was old enough to realize that it was too fucking late. It was fun. We promoted concerts and put on events, managed bands.
Right.
People used to go out every single night of the week. We used to have this thing called happy hour in bars where people would meet at 4:30 in the afternoon. Drinking and driving was still legal.
Yeah. I mean, it's drive, not.
It was still a legal activity to drink and drive. You can be pulled over. You can drop beer cans on the officer's foot. And as long as you can touch your fingers to your nose, they would let you go.
Right.
You know, they say, hey, do you want us to follow you home to get you there safely? You know, protect and serve. It was great. That law changed in 1988, thanks to mothers of drunk driving. They were the direct force behind it.
Right.
But there used to be a bar where there's a Starbucks now. There wasn't caffeine in this world. It was all beer. It was an all beer world.
It is all caffeine now, isn't it?
By Miller and Budweiser.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of caffeine out there, man. We can talk a little more about that later, because that's a weird trend that's picked up in the past 5 years.
Well, it was my company, Mondo Distributors, that brought in Jolt Cola, all the sugar and twice the caffeine they need for a better-tasting soft drink back in 1986.
I remember Jolt.
Yeah,
well, Jolt Monster Cola. Monster and yeah. Amp. And
we had about 40, 50 stores in central Indiana that carried it, and it was a good ride. It was good money for a while, because everybody looked at it and said, oh no, nobody wants more caffeine. Yeah. Oh yeah right
I'd say more power.
So you promote bands and stuff in the Broad Ripple area, right?
Well, I was the promotions and marketing director for the Karma record chain that had 42 stores.
Yeah, unfortunate that you guys had one of the last stores there in Anderson, which was a great store. Used to go in. The chick who ran that store was terrific.
Yeah, Michelle Legg.
Yeah, yeah, she was sweet. Loved her.
I still see her.
Do you?
And
good.
She's going to be a judge at the Spring Fling at the Vogue on April 1st, which is the Tattoo Artist Spring Fling.
Oh, okay, wow.
Her and Derb from Columbus, who runs Hell City, and Dave Sloan out in from Mount Brownsburg will be the judges. All the tattoo artists in the state get together and come to a tattoo contest for one night. We're sitting down, we're having dinner, we're going to have a burlesque show, pepper eating contest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is the night to come out and look at tattoo ink or show your ink or enter it in a contest, because that's what it's all about, is ink, beauty, fun, party.
I do. I occasionally do a little burlesque.
I'll get you a slot with the dancers and maybe get you in third or fourth. Oh, howdy, we got a new face.
Yeah, this is Tyson.
Hi there, hi there.
I'm the loud one.
Is that a pink hoodie?
It's actually like road flare orange.
All right, it's just coming off very pink of you.
Don't let him fool you, Bill. It's pink.
I'm looking right at it, and it's pink. So.
It's salmon. So I like to really, I like to be incognito and never stand out. That's why.
there went Shauna.
Yeah, you're stealth. That's stealth. It works for me.
So how? Tell us this, Bill. How did you first get involved in... I guess the fight for marijuana legalization.
I went over and hung out with Steve Dillon's office in the late 90s and told him it was time to kick up the normal again because they were dormant for a while. He started that back up. We worked there together. And then I took a hiatus for about 2-3 years, and I came back and I started re-legalize Indiana. And between re-legalize Indiana and normal, we have been doing a cannabis awareness program within the state where before, if you used to say marijuana out loud, people would duck, cover, and look the other way because, you know, shh, you can't say that out loud in Indiana. Somebody will hear you. What are you kidding me? It's okay. You can say it. You know, we used to be the leading state growing hemp in the country. We got presidential awards for growing so much of it.
Yeah, South it still Bend, grows wild up in Fort Wayne on some of those ditches. Pretty prevalent.
It grows wild in some parts of Matthews, Indiana.
It's ditchweed.
Right. But yeah, exactly.
Oddly, that ditchweed over the years, just by surviving, has come up with a very large seed. And those seeds have a very unique oil to them to Indiana. So it's like having a Decker melon or a Vidalia onion. We've got a very, very sweet seed up in the northern region that is just sort of Indiana's own, and we've done it by accident.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really? We did something good? Oh, we did it by mistake. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Just let nature run its course.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sweeter oil, so when we can actually get to grow it, if we can go out in these ditches, grab those seeds that we've all seen 10,000 times and actually plant them and use them again, we're going to have some top-quality hemp oil coming out of this state that'll be a premium in the market.
I remember I used to eat a lot of those seeds off of, like, the top of my dad's dresser.
I'll tell you what, I've had hemp seed cookies, man. Yeah. Those things are awesome.
I used to love them.
It's like they taste nutty, roasted. Oh, man, I was shocked. It's been years ago, went to a hemp rally, and where was...
A little salt.
Yeah.
What was that, Scott?
I'm trying to remember where that hemp rally was. This was back in the earlier 90s, maybe 93, 94, somewhere in there.
Back in your 30s.
Yeah, but there we went to a hemp rally, and it was the weirdest thing because, like, as you pulled in, all the cops were, like, surrounding this place, but evidently there was an agreement with the town.
Paid like a tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like a tax, and it was almost like, I mean, it was really, it was cool. I mean, they had bands and a lot of advocates and a lot of products from clothing to cookies And the cookies weren't going to get you high. They were just good. They were hemp seed cookies. And just seeing all the products, and it's weird that a place, you know, and this was 20 years ago, that, you know, this place could last for a weekend, but it's okay for a weekend.
Yeah,
but let's curb it at a weekend. You know, it's odd to me that it's, we can shake hands for a weekend, but then
they have those hemp rallies all over.
Oh yeah,
States where it's not even legal, and it's like, for some reason the government just decides not to intervene in these things, and
that makes no sense.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill: how far away is Indiana? How far away are we?
2015.
2015. Okay, so you're saying it's within 3 years, 2 to 3 years.
2 years.
Yeah. This year we got a new guy at the helm. It's the first time he ever flew the USS Indiana, and he wants to take it out for a test spin for a year and see how it goes. Huh. And, you know, which Captain Governor Pence, you know, as much luck as possible. Now, he's already pulled out of the launching bay and submitted a bill, part of his, you know, Pence's roadmap to America, to the House, and that was the 10% tax cut. The House just looked at him, laughed, and said, "No way." They right. shut him out immediately. So he's going to have an interesting drive the first year. We're just going to sit back and educate the masses about the goodness and wonderfulness of the cannabis oil itself over the next 12 months, and start doing a push on education on that, because our hands are tied as far as the state house is concerned until we go into session again next December.
Right.
When we start saying, "Oh, hey, let's do this bill, buddy, and let's do this bill, buddy, and let's do this bill."
Now, do you see it first coming in a medicinal, you know, before it's like, I know Seattle and places like that have said, okay, let's just, it's legal, decriminalize it, let's get rid of it? Or do you see it coming about in the medical arena first, and then after, I mean, because Michigan right now, I know they have medical marijuana system up there.
Colorado's,
I mean, and we're awful close to Michigan, you know, as far as
Colorado,
people in Michigan aren't that much different than, I don't feel, than the folks here in Indiana. Maybe they are, but
they're a lot more they move a lot more.
No,
well,
but
probably because
Michigan
of the auto industry, maybe. But
what was that, Bill?
Michigan Supreme Court just screwed them and said you can't have dispensaries because of some way the laws was written.
Really?
So the dispensaries up in Michigan are going to be closing. You can still grow it, and you can still give it to your patients. And there's a lot of people up there growing it, giving it to patients. I mean, there's doctors who have, you know, offices in five cities who see cannabis patients. You know, Michigan Holistic Michigan's Holistic Center is a brilliant, brilliant group if you ever want to go up to Michigan. Dr. Crocker rocks. Oh, look, another face. Hi there.
How's it going?
I just would like it to where they can take it off of the drug screens. You know, that's my biggest thing, is if they would just take it off of the whiz quiz.
Yeah. You know what? And I'm wondering, though, even if it does become legal, let's say hands down, if a company could still say, I wouldn't. What would stop them? What would stop them?
They're insurance companies.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. that's the
insurance companies who do it in their favor. If we can get the insurance companies to stop saying you have to insure your people not to smoke, then it's okay.
And well,
but they're the biggest.
Yeah,
really. If they could do, like,
we're not good.
The cheek swabs where they can tell, like, down to 6 hours if you've smoked or not, I'd be okay with that. But what the hell do I have to do what I do on Saturday night with what I do Monday morning at my job?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no fucking correlation in the world. I can get high as a kite, higher than 10 Indians.
I'm more pissed off about the fact that I have to take piss tests to have a job,
yeah.
And the people that don't have jobs get to smoke all the pot they want and get government money. like
well, that's going to change. That's going to change. I know with unemployment,
yeah,
they've changed. I know Florida has passed it, and I think Indiana, if I'm not mistaken, has passed it. That if you're on, if you're on any, if you're on not any, but if you're on unemployment, I think now there is, or at least
sign up for it.
Yeah, there would be a drug screen, is what my understanding of it was. But
well, there's,
I could be wrong about that, Bill. You might be.
I think there's 18 states in the union that have either legalized or have medicinal marijuana. The only state in the union that says you don't have to test for marijuana in a drug screen is Connecticut.
Good for them.
So at least one state has done it.
Well, that's what I'm again. So, I mean, employment could still say, you know, even though it is a legal substance, we choose not to hire you on the fact that you smoke.
What does that have to do? If I smoke a joint now,
again, I mean,
I go to get a job.
You're probably
be dirty.
You're probably preaching to the choir here, Tyson. I mean, it's not us that you have to convince of this.
I'm just saying, if I want to smoke a joint on my porch, I will.
But not today.
I would if I could.
But not today because I got a
job. I have a job, so
Let's ask our guest for some guidance in this situation here. We kind of took the ball and ran with it there for a second.
We went on BYU.
What say you to private companies that test for marijuana in states where it's legal, Bill?
It's, you know, somebody's cousin making money, first off.
Okay.
It doesn't. Florida did it, and it cost them more money to test than the response came out with. It was not a good fiscal, responsible thing to do. And with our current system of testing, where they have proven more than 20% of the tests have been done wrong, you know, this is not the kind of casino I'd want to gamble at. cannabis should be treated like dandelions. If you want them in your yard, fine. If not, get rid of them. But there should be no real laws on it. It's just a weed, you know?
Yeah.
It grows naturally.
But it's the largest trade. It's also the largest traded commodity in the state that's untaxed.
Oh, I'm sure, without a doubt.
I've
never once paid tax.
I've never reported any sales.
You know what? And it's unfortunate because for this old, and that's a major selling point to politicians on this, is the tax revenue. And of all things, that's one of the reasons why I would not want to see it become legal like that. I don't want to. I really don't want to see our government in control of anything else, other than what the, I mean. Yeah, they've got their fingers in every pie, and maybe that's the way of the world. But at this point, they don't in marijuana, and that's my problem with the legalization is to say, okay, now we control this. We, even though we're making it legal, we are the.
This is FDA, exactly.
We are in control of this. You no longer have the power. We control it, and we'll decide, and we'll also gain the we'll gain money from it. Yeah, you can get yours, but again, I just don't. I'm not for government control of much more than what we have right now, and just to give them another
vehicle.
Yeah, and unfortunately, again, for this probably to ever happen with legalization, it'll have to be because of. Getting people on board that are looking at tax revenues for it.
They make more money by keeping people in probation and putting people in jail.
Oh yeah,
than they would on taxes, and that's why it's illegal. Yeah. As soon as they figure out the ratio, they'll take in more money by taxing it than in the criminal justice system. It'll be legalized instantly.
Well, that's if they're smart.
Yeah. Oh, they're. Well, and who was the head of the state police here that just a few months ago came out and talked about decriminalization and what they've found that?
Doctor. Help me off guard.
It was Weitzel.
Dr. Weitzel. Thank you.
Yeah. Wasn't it Paul Weitzel?
It was Paul Weitzel.
Yeah.
They asked a simple question in the middle of a hearing.
Right, exactly.
He wasn't really realizing his camera's on or think about it, and he told them the truth.
Yeah, he was honest. Man, yeah. then you should have watched the backpedaling from the from the State Bolero. Oh, yeah, hey, well, hey, this is
retarded.
Yeah.
He's held a radar gun next to his head for a lot of years. He's obviously retarded now.
Oh, jeez.
No, actually, the guy's a really good speaker.
Yeah.
Goes out and gives rallies and talks to his guys. He's one of those big, bold, brassy guys. Sort of cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, I approve of his candor. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
If all these guys kind of spoke like that, maybe we'd be in a better state.
I'd like
you know?
To say, if you took actual your analysis of everybody, you'd be amazed at the percentage of people that would register.
Right.
Right.
Well, you'd made a point earlier off show about, you know, the... Basically, I mean, we've had this war on drugs for since the 80s, you know... And it's odd that we are the most pro drug nation out there, and you know that we're anti some drugs. But you know, I've seen my grandma's pill bottle, or you know, her Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Pill bottle, and
thanks
I mean,
for naming all the days.
Yeah, I didn't want my grandmother to miss a day.
I
mean, yeah, we have a pill for everything.
Oh, people love drugs. And, it's not that they care that you're getting high; they just care on whose drugs you're getting high on.
They don't
care that you're getting high; they want you to get high.
Yeah,
I do.
So, Bill, you had laid out. A pretty extensive legalization map in 2011 when I first found out who you were when you were running for city county council in Indianapolis. Tell us your route, if you will, for legalization in Indiana.
Yeah.
I heard part of that. My
proven
to
erase memory.
What would your route for legalization in Indiana be?
By the way, the State House is playing it this year. If we get I think it's House Bill or Senate Bill 250, which will allow us to have ballot initiatives.
Right.
Which means we will be able to put it on the ballot.
Sweet.
Now, they're looking to do it with casinos and a few other things. And the mass transit, if it's going to work for those two items, I think it's also going to work for the cannabis issue, considering 54% of the state wants it, and none of the politicians want their fingerprints on it.
Hey, right. Hey, Bill, I'm sorry. Where are you getting? You'd brought up the 54% a couple times. How are you guys coming up with that number?
There were two polls done, one by WISH and WISH and Ball State University, and they came out at 53%
of college.
Determined and favored. And then there is the Howie poll, which is – Howie is a political pollster in the top 20 in the nation. I mean, the whole world knows the guy from the political – in the political fish pond.
Right.
He did a poll with DePaul University, and it came back at 54% of the state wants cannabis, you know, legal.
Would support it. Not
right.
Okay.
And this is the same company that does polls for Mitch Daniels, that does polls for, you know, Mike Pence.
Sure, sure.
It's one of the biggest polling companies with the highest you can't get a higher respected pollster in the nation. And our state is at 54%. I feel it's not an accurate poll because I look over at Illinois and they're at 64%. And I know we like it better than they do.
I bet it's higher. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it really is.
Admit to it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And again, that's part of, I think, why part of the, there's still a major stigma. I mean, even though not so much with me, but people my parents' age,
oh, yeah.
You know, there's a, there's a huge stigma attached, and you know, my grandmother's still alive, and so there's another segment of the population that it's they're familiar with the the old reefer madness, you know. That's the big fear is
Lucky lucky few.
They came to visit and he says, Tyson, you got any grandpa's herb? Like, as a matter of fact, I do. Let's go for a ride.
That's awesome.
I mean, how many people would say they got high with their grandpa?
Not me.
No, not me.
Not me either. So what? Your path to legalization would include what? If it was legal, what would that mean to the residents of Indiana, as far as taxes and maybe where that revenue would go?
There's going to be a tax. There'll be a tax and regulate system of one form or another, probably similar to the dispensaries would similarly have to get licenses from the state to open up and operate, and it would probably be a lottery system. Same way they did with the liquor licenses. Each dense populated area would get so many dispensaries per people.
Right.
Oh,
and that's how they would issue it out for the first year or two. I mean, there's really no other way. There's no other way. You don't open it up like they did in California and say, ooh, it's a wide open cowboy thing.
Right.
Yeah, they had trouble with that.
It would be zoned to C4 or C5 for the state of Indiana. With a special variance, which means you can't be within 500 feet of a church or school.
Sure.
And got to get permission from the city to open in that location. You know, they don't want it opening up next to two houses, but if you're in the middle of a strip mall, sure, you're going to get your variance.
So I want to know, for the private citizen, what the permit will run.
For personal, non-distribution.
Yeah.
I barely heard that.
How much do you think it will cost for like the individual, say like me for example,
to not dispense?
What do I want to do? Grow it in my yard, in my garden. What would an individual permit? Right?
Not wanting to dispense it, basically household use.
That there would have to be a household commercial, you know, under 99 plant thing, under 99 plant permit, you know, which would be non-commercial.
Well, yeah, under 99 plants can produce pretty. Yeah, I was going to say that could produce a surplus for me. I would think. Yeah.
You get 25 pounds out of it.
Yeah, but if you're growing three varieties or four varieties, you're going to need 10 females. You're going to need 8 females and 2 males to keep the strains going.
For sure.
Yes, I didn't know the
bees,
that part of it.
And bees and moths.
Yeah. Got to have different heights of them so they graduate at different times. Because if you're actually producing it for medicine, you want it consistent. You don't want to damage it crossbreed.
No.
Wow.
Well, and you'd want to keep your supply going, so you'd want to stagger your operation.
Yes.
Store it. It stores. I mean, it stores fine. You can. It'll last.
There's warehouses out west that are as big as, you know, the Vogue that are just jam-packed with it. Things we don't get to see out here.
I'd like to spend the night in one of those.
Yeah, I'd like to be the security guard. Give me like a big wheelbarrow full of Doritos.
hey, Bill, this is... Do you think that part of the opposition to the legalization of pot is that people in power feel that even like for medicinal purposes, that if it were legal, that the pot smokers would be getting what they want, and it's almost like a just saying no, we're not going to give this to you because there's going to be people who are going to take advantage out there that who are just doing this because they like to smoke pot with no benefit medically for them.
The government's not selfish; it's greedy. You know, it wants its permits, it wants it taxed, it wants its fees, but it has to wait for the population of North America to swing in favor of it. Right now, I think North American population's at 62, 64% in favor.
Are you talking about on a federal level, or are you talking still state level?
On a federal level.
You think that they are they would be on board with this?
2 years ago, it was about 48%, and over the last couple years, it went up to 50. Now I think it's up to 63-64%. The longer we go on each year, the higher the percentage of North Americans want this legal. When it hits the 70, which is going to probably be in the next year, year and a half, all the cards will tumble because there's not a politician in the world out there that's going to go against 70%. With elections coming up in 2014, it's going to be a changer.
You think it'll be a major issue? Presidentially. Yeah.
Presidentially, no. I think Obama.
I mean, you always have these hot button issues come election time. I mean, do you think that pot could be one of those in 2014?
16.
I mean, presidential, yeah.
No way.
By then, it'll be over. I think it'll already be done.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's...
I've heard my dad say that my whole entire life.
We just lost tons of funding to the DEA. Everybody go, oh, we're going to have a pity party. 1, 2, 3.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, poor DEA.
Poor DEA. I mean, it'll put some judges. You know,
I love them. They do a great job. Did they're the fabulous.
Sequester take care of them? Or
just stay out of the weed business.
Yeah, exactly. Leave it to those of us that like it.
How much, Bill, in 2013, do you think the paper and the cotton industry has to do with marijuana still being federally illegal?
I think it's paper. I think it's look at 3M, which is the Koch brothers, Koch brothers.
It's a major. Yeah. It's a major employer of our county here.
Which they also run Georgia Pacific.
Right. Yeah, they run many things. Right now, that's the company everybody's got to get over to and have them agree that, hey, this would be a good thing, because they are the largest financer to the Republican Party.
Right.
The party goes as their money does. So once 3M figures out how to take the plant itself and start manufacturing plastic out of it, which they know how to do, just don't have machinery set up to do it yet, I suspect all the farms will open up and start pumping hemp into that factory left and right. What we need here in Indiana is to be the mercantile to set up to buy all the hemp so we can ship it as a distributor.
Be first to market. That's what I'm saying.
Hell yeah.
Oh, how fucking sweet would that be to walk through it? Like, instead of a cornfield.
To see that'd be wild.
Like,
smell better, well, too.
That would all be...
Angels would come and smile on
that'd all be industrial hemp, though. It wouldn't be,
yeah, not all this is pot. Is right THC producing pot.
You can grow a building. We could build bricks. All you need is limestone and hemp, and you can build bricks. And I'm sorry, in Indiana we got a lot of limestone.
We do.
Yeah, we're known for our limestone. Actually, we're renowned.
Bricks right there.
Yeah. So basically, we have to convince the Koch brothers to sign on for hemp.
We gotta convince the Koch people to sign on for pot.
Well, and then there's the DuPont.
It's kind of like backwards.
I mean, is the DuPont guy finally? Didn't he get convicted for one of them? One of the main DuPont brothers, didn't he get convicted of murder for that wrestler?
I don't know.
Here in Michigan, but anyway, he's a major money holder who, I mean, the oil companies, the oil companies don't want hemp legal.
No, neither do Bush or the cigarette companies, although the cigarette companies hold property ready to grow, they'll still fight it. I don't understand why. The people who finance, like, Drug Free America is like Budweiser, Philip Morris.
That's awesome.
You know,
well, because they feel like they've got the market cornered.
There's a lot of people, you know, that'll stop other vices. If they could just get
yeah.
You know.
Do you think this would ever extend to like cocaine and other?
Oh boy, I wish. Jesus Christ Almighty! They legalized coke. That'd be super duper.
I mean, again, it once was legal, so I mean.
Tickle my pickle.
Wow.
They used to have these things back in the area, back in 68, 69, called Wyoming inhalants. They looked like a Vicks nose inhalant.
Right.
They were methamphetamine.
Wow.
Nice.
You just were inhaling pure methamphetamine with a little bit of methanol in it, just to make it minty or something.
Right.
People used to just crack them open and eat the motherfucker, eat the thing.
I think I was born like 20 years too late.
if they would legalize the
coca plant
in United States, I would like make tea out of the leaves and shit and eat the leaves.
I'd eat it for lunch and I'd weigh it like the normal weight. I wouldn't be fat anymore. I'll say that. I'd get a lot more done.
Gotta be better for you than caffeine.
You know, I am drinking 30 beers a day now. But.
So are you? But are you, Bill? Are you guys drawing the line at marijuana?
You know, personally, I'd like to see everything legal across the board. Just have it like Portugal.
Hear, hear.
Portugal said, "You know, screw the UN." 1961 UN treaty is one of our biggest issues.
Yeah, fuck the UN.
Because
anyway.
The 61 UN treaty said nobody can recognize cannabis as a nobody can do tests on it. Nobody can do, and everybody's doing it, and the UN's getting all pissy about it. We're going to have it the next couple years. The wall is falling. When you got over 27 states that have some kind of game in action, that's over. You know, it's over half.
Yeah.
We're on the way.
The bad thing is, Indiana is always last. We're always last on shit like that.
So you running for any kind of office next year, Bill?
Yeah, I'm gonna run for state rep here in 2014.
As a libertarian.
Yeah, I'm gonna run as a libertarian.
Well, I mean, we've not to get on your party here, Bill, but I made the comment, if the second coming of Jesus Christ came and he ran as a libertarian, he would be crucified at the polls. I mean, unfortunately, you need to try to integrate your philosophies into another party. Like maybe the Republican Party would be close. closer than probably the Democratic Party. I mean, I imagine you're libertarian not just for marijuana philosophy, but for smaller government.
Smaller government, you know, fiscal responsibility. Don't do things that's going to, you know, hey, I'm going to build things that are going to cost more taxes down the line. No, don't do that. That's stupid. We don't need this. You know, if it's such a good idea, let private industry do it.
Yes.
Let them make the money.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, they can't? It's something we have to subsidize? No, that's bad business.
Exactly.
You know,
that's no business functions that way.
Yeah. Well, our government does, obviously, but...
They should all just do a J.
Well, they want to do this mass transit thing here in Indy. And they
I've heard that.
And they're using Indigo as the people they want to represent it. And it's let me get this straight. The worst mass transit company in North America, and you want to reward them with more money to do more?
That sounds like a great government idea. You're the least efficient at
let
this.
Them
we want
fix
you to
what
be
they
the
got
consultant.
First. Let them get off the bottom of the barrel and, you know, raise up and be the cream before you give them the money. But no, they're going to... Anyway, I'm sorry.
It's just like Amtrak.
What about the postal system?
Yeah. Oh,
UPS is doing great. FedEx is doing great. But our post office, they're
losing
fucking
trillions.
Yeah.
They're like hemorrhaging money.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I heard how
I'm looking for blood next to my post box every day.
No. There's an easy way to fix the post office issue.
privatize it.
Yeah, give it to FedEx.
No. They can stay doing what they're doing. Just make them the exclusive way to transport cannabis.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a fucking win-win.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
You know what? That's odd.
That's big baseball man.
That's very odd because I don't know if you know this, Bill, but I think you can still do this. You can still go to the post office and get hand scales. They used to sell them at the
postage.
See, so they're
used them for mail.
They're kind of already set up, you know, in a way to transition right into this.
Yeah, I've always used those skills just for mail.
Jesus, this is an incriminating show.
Yeah.
Used it to weigh mail.
The name of the game is not trying to stay out of everybody's file. It's to get your name in everybody's file.
That's what I've always said. I'm sure there's a fucking foot-thick dossier on me.
We've had a couple wild shows. May have attracted notice.
Right.
A couple comments may have attracted notice.
We do have listeners in fucking Iran and Malaysia now.
Yeah, we're worldwide, Bill.
Weird.
Oh, well, hello to the rest of the world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At least 50% of our audience is from England.
Oh, bravo.
G'day, mate. Oh, wait.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, there we go.
I was going to brush my teeth the other day.
Well, that's why they love us.
I have a question for you as a parent, Bill. You have 5 kids, right?
Wow. Busy man.
No. Daughters.
Oh.
You have 5 daughters. Wow. Okay.
And 1 granddaughter.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. So being the marijuana advocate that you are, I was interested to know, as a parent, I have a 14-year-old and a couple of 9-year-olds. I wanted to know how you approach the subject of marijuana with your kids.
What approach? Legalization. They understand that. They know if I catch them, if they try it and I catch them, they get, you know, punished like any other kid.
Right.
It's a coco no-no for the kids. And once they're, once they're 21, I don't know. Once they're, after they're 18, they're on their own.
That's what I've always said for my daughter. Whenever I find the first bag of weed in her dresser drawer, I'm going to smoke it all right in front of her.
No, I mean, hey Bill, what?
In this house, we share.
How old are your daughters? Are they grown now?
No.
Okay. Well,
13, 15, 17, 18.
Holy crap.
Let's say your 13-year-old, Bill, developed some sort of illness that smoking pot alleviates or makes her. I mean, do you? She's 13. Do you say, well, you know, it's
smoking. It is not a medicinal.
No, and I'm not saying necessarily smoke it.
Medicinal way. If it came down to treating a loved one or a family member with cannabis oil, would I consider it? Let me think about this. Okay. Who has the duh button?
Somebody who has the duh button?
No duh button. Yes, I suggested we're going to be doing a cannabis education tour. With cannabis oil, you know, cannabis, talking about cannabis oil, how it cures. We're going to be going to schools. We're going to be going to hospitals. We're going to be going to youth centers. We're going to be showing Run from the Cure, Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure.
You can download that?
During Labor Day weekend, there's a festival in Matthews called the Covered Bridge Festival. We could set up a booth in my yard.
Let's do it.
I'm totally
You say these things, you're going to get drafted.
Oh, I don't. I'm saying right now, I'm in. Everybody in that town knows anyway. It's not like it's a mystery.
Well, you know, when you can cure a kid's cancer with, you know, less than an ounce of cannabis oil, or the kid has to go through, you know, all these horrible treatments for 8 months, 10 months, a year.
Yeah.
It makes you scratch your head and you go, you know, what's our value here? Where is our value of life?
Because
what is our value
of
health?
The chemo exacerbates most of the symptoms. You know, a lot of times the treatment's worse than the disease.
Yes.
Boy, killed my grandpa. So.
People die from cancer treatment than the cancer.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I'm serious about the Labor Day weekend. Save the day. I'd be more than happy to have a booth in my yard.
All right, Normal heads up all the official outreach and stuff because they're the ones who have 20,000 people. That's our army.
Right.
That's our street army people. Thank God for all of you out there. Yeah,
really. Well, we need to all be registered members of Normal. We need to get that squared away.
Get a tattoo.
That's national, right? That's not a regional thing. Normal
is a
national. That's what I thought. Okay.
Any extra millions will be donated to us. We really appreciate it. We need the marketing money. To give you an idea of what kind of marketing money is going on, when Pence ran a 6 month or an 8 month campaign to be governor, he spent $9.5 million advertising in this state.
Wow.
The other governor spent $5.8 million. That's advertising in this state. We, as we legalize Indiana, only got $3,000.
I was going to say, $3,000 is not much of a budget.
$3,000 last year, so Normal had really nothing to work on. We need a $12 million budget. We need to advertise this like they advertise politicians every 4 seconds until finally everybody goes, oh, okay, we'll do it.
You say we need that much money to get you, but I think it's fucking ridiculous that the people that get elected have to spend that much.
Well, here's the thing. I could spend that on
helping people out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, with the money thing. But here's the thing is where Pence is getting his money, he's drawing from a different pool than where you're drawing your money. I mean, you're drawing from actually the working class, which, you know, Pence is drawing from wealthy, basically lobbyists.
Smokes. Come on, I know Republicans who sit back in their highfalutin chairs with their feet up on the thing and they burn, you know, 3 foot stogies. It's not a class thing. It's not a Republican Democrat thing. It's not a man woman thing.
It's an American thing.
Every walk of life who smokes, you know, doctors, lawyers, bankers, you know, politicians, they're all out there. They all love it. It's just the fear, apathy, and lack of money.
Yeah.
You got a problem? Yeah, fear, apathy, and lack of money. What can we do about it?
You got to get the apathetic people motivated.
Well, I kind of empathize with that because I'm not a person with a whole lot of extra money. I am a person with a job that if I get hurt, I have to go take a piss test.
Yep.
And I do a lot of stuff in my private life in the public view now, thanks to the podcast and music and things of that nature. So if I were to speak out loudly for marijuana legalization, I'm likely to receive some backlash.
Yeah, and same here in my line of work in sales.
My line of work. Shizzle,
I mean, there is that, and that's again what we kind of touched on earlier is, you know, let's say legalization does happen, let's say the insurance companies still say, well, you know, I know it's legal, but this is something that if you're going to be under our insurance, we'd prefer your workers not to do in their private time. there's still going to be that stigma attached, even with the legal product.
That's what I want to push for, is that they can only do the swabs that go back, you know, 6 hours or some such.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm okay with that, but if you're going to test me for something,
you did a month ago.
Something I did a month ago that I'm still, because I'm fat and it stays in my system. Right.
Exactly. So what can we do, Bill, as normal-ass Hoosiers to ensure... what are you making fun of there?
Yeah, the echo.
To ensure that this gets legalized in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I get too.
Actually, physically, not this year. Leave your senators and state reps alone this year, because they ain't going to pay attention until next year. But when it gets down to it,
too busy on gun.
Physically write letters and snail mail them to your senators. Snail mail them to your state reps and go, look, here's my story. My name is Joe. I believe cannabis should be legal for this reason. My grandpa grew up on a farm. He used to grow it in the 40s, and we used to make a lot of money. And even in bad years when the sun wasn't shining and the rain wasn't falling, we still grew hemp because you can't kill the damn thing. It's a weed.
It is like dandelions.
You know, it's a product that doesn't have to be subsidized. Corn last year was pathetic for our farmers. What, they made 182, 220 an acre, where they should have made 600 an acre.
Yep.
Normally, I mean, in Indiana, a good corn year will be anywhere from 170 to 200, a little over 200 bushel an acre. And I think this year they were down around the 120 mark. So, yeah, it was a bad corn year for. And you're right. I mean, all the farms are subsidized, even the soybean growers. I mean, the soybeans are growing record prices right now, and they're still subsidized. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, that has to be you even have to eat.
We, at one time, Indiana was the leading cigar manufacturing place in the world.
Really?
How about that? And we had, up until the 60s, 70s, we had 3,500 tobacco farms here in the state. Hi there, new face.
Hi.
There you go. we had to keep long love of farming tobacco and good things, but now it's all subsidized. Hemp never needed to be subsidized.
No, because it grows readily.
South Bend was one of the major rope manufacturers in the world for the war effort, and all the hemp in the state was shipped up there. That's what they did up in South Bend, is make rope and throw it on ships and send it over to all the Navy ports.
It's just amazing that it's so underutilized.
Mm-hmm. What does
such a happy plant.
Oh, there's so many uses for it.
What are the odds I wouldn't get busted for growing it on my other lot? Right?
Just set it up in the middle.
Just a whole bunch.
Put a nice little flower ring around it. Yeah. Bunch of pot plants in the middle.
Yeah, helicopters would notice in downtown when the parade goes past.
Some of your neighbors might notice.
Oh, they're old. They realize.
So, Bill, we haven't asked this question, and we, I don't know if you want to incriminate yourself, but are you a toker?
Are you a toker? I have been studying the plant since 1967.
Awesome.
That's well
done. Yeah, brilliant. I love the response.
I've done some research.
Yeah, I've been...
I've been in research and development for a while.
Yeah, I had to take hiatus. But
So I've got an idea, Bill. Let me run this by you. You're involved with a lot of marijuana activists in the state, right?
Well, yeah, I have a colorful array of friends, yes.
Okay. If we were to do a podcast, a special one-time podcast, and put it up on Bandcamp and sell it, could we donate the money to Normal?
Yeah. Yeah, I can get you. We can. Why don't you all come on down to one of the normal meetings, and I'll introduce you, and tell them what you want to do, and give it a pitch at the Saturday meeting, and come on down, and hang out.
That'll be fun.
Silly shit we do.
Plug in. And
that's an open invitation to anybody who hears this podcast, even our friends over in Iraq and Iran.
Yeah, most of the people that listen to this show are, fans of degeneration.
Well, it is blogging under the influence. They know what they're getting in. We haven't really talked about this too much, but, with the opportunity to talk to you, I figured we could definitely dedicate a whole show to it.
Do a 420 show.
We've got LEAP out there, which is law enforcement against prohibition.
Right.
Prohibition. That's wrong. Law enforcement against prohibition. He's a former officer, and he's here in the state. We also have Neil from Normal is our Indiana State hemp historian. He's Professor Pot. Man knows
That's
more about
awesome.
Hemp in Indiana than most.
Where do you
professors.
Go to that school? I would be like an honorary doctorate of
law. He's one of those wonderful people who is just been studying, who's literally been studying it. Things like Eli Lilly and Park Davis back in the 1930s and 40s came up with a hybrid called Cannabis Americana.
Nice.
Which is a... Nice. The medicinal branch of Lily working on the gardening out in Greenfield, Indiana. Huh. And it wasn't hemp over there. It was medicine they were growing.
Yeah.
Handcuff County. So Eli Lilly has some seeds in stash, and they know how to grow it.
Right.
Right.
I just got to do it, man.
Rock and roll.
Well, Bill's calling it, though, man. 2015. We won't have to worry about it anymore.
I'm going to hold you to that, Bill.
Yep. I'm shooting for before, but, if you take a real look, we got to go through the political dance of, oh, my God, I want to be elected, which is in 2014 for a lot of the state reps and senators.
Right.
So, everybody will have that little dance going on. And that's when you can get a lot of politicians to pay attention to the question, and you buttonhole them. Hey, you're running for office. What's your opinion of this? Really? Because they've got to answer these things more honestly toward election. And, that's when we can earmark them, like a good Carney Barker, we can mark their coat as they walk down the boardwalk and let everybody know that's a good one or a bad one.
Right. Well, we're all hoping for it.
All hoping for it.
I know everybody sitting here is, anyway.
Well, and there's... it's
everybody in the state is pretty much on the same page.
Yeah. Well, Bill... We're a little over an hour in, and that's about our timeline.
Okay, cool. Just awesome hanging out with you. This is wonderful. I'll do this again. This is sort of fun. I've never done this like this, but yeah.
Yeah, keep in contact, Bill. Become a friend of the show. John will give you all the details as far as how to log on to us, but...
Send me links. I will push it from my Facebook page.
Great.
You can do that, yeah?
Great, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that.
Is there anything you want to plug and promote here? Before we wrap up,
please join us for the annual 420 March, Saturday, April 20th.
I was going to say, what day would that be? Okay.
No, he just said, what day would that
have
be?
A parade.
He's being a smart ass.
We're going to march and have a parade and have a good time and march up and down the streets. And,
this is an Indy?
Merry way. Yeah, this is an Indy. There's some guys coming in from Elkhart. We got some people coming in from Vincennes. So we got people coming in from all over the state.
Yeah, it's a pretty big range.
People.
Yeah, we may have to head down there with some video cameras.
I'm serious, though, about the Covered Bridge Festival and Labor Day weekend. That would be absolutely rock and roll. My neighbors would love that.
Well, and I know of a festival in Montpelier, Indiana, that you would find a receptive crowd, you know. I really think so.
Yeah. What do they call that? Jamboree?
The Jamboree, right. I don't know if you've ever looked into doing just, you know, some of these small-town festivals as far as an outlet to
educate.
Yeah, educate some people. Maybe
we're open
get some signatures.
As long as we can find staff to cover it, we're doing it. You know, that's what I'm saying. Come down to the normal meeting and let's write these things down on a piece of paper and talk to the people who know this. I just know how to get people to where they're going so we could all meet and discuss it. But, you know, let's get together and hash it out.
We will do that. Hey, Bill, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Yeah, thank you for taking time to hang out with us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's a gas. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Pinch, poke, yo, me a cope. Well, for Blogging Under the Influence, episode 91, featuring the wonderful Bill Levin, I've been Mick.
J-Dub.
I am Tyson.
And Scott.
Okay, and Scott. Bye. Oh, shit.
You just hung right up. I was in the middle of something.
I hit the wrong button.
He was talking.
Yeah.